We'll get you a song book and turn to page 97. 97. When I come to you, I want you to stand and read a verse. Page 97. Page 97. Comes after 96. Everybody got it? All right. Doris, stand and read that first verse. Now, Doris.
Louder.
That's right. Huh? Yeah.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the gladness all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward to our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Okay. Henry, verse 2.
Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell the sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing the islands of the sea, echo back the ocean's caves. Earth shall sing her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Thank you. Pam? You can see it. Just do it loud.
Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves. Jesus saves.
It's getting better. It's getting better. Vince, give us that fourth verse, huh?
Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hill and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Thank you. You know, I started out with the parable of the sower, didn't I? You know, our job is to do one thing. Just one thing. God just says, do one thing, and I'll do everything else. Just do one thing for me.
Spread.
Sow. Throw. But it's what you spread. It's what you sow. It's what you throw. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tides. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves. Listen, a sinner has got no other message that can help him. Jesus will save you. Jesus will cleanse you. Jesus will wash you. He saves. That's what he does. He's real good at it. Just ask me, I'll tell you. He saves. We can't get complacent. We can't listen to the world. We can't get into the fog. We got to stay in the Word and throw it. Remember the parable? 3/4 of them not even going to listen, or they're going to listen the wrong way. But it's going to fall on some good ground. Isn't it, brother? It's going to fall on some good ground. Just keep throwing it. Don't get down. Don't get disheartened. Don't get frustrated. Just keep throwing it. He says, my word will not return unto me void, empty, vain, but it will do that which I have sent it to do. Just keep throwing it. Just keep throwing it. It's not hard. You don't have to have the scriptures memorized. But you have to be in the scriptures before you go sowing. Otherwise, there won't be no seed in your bag. You'll reach in there to sow and nothing will be there. You got to get loaded up before you can go. Thank you, honey. You're picking up what I'm putting down. You got to put it in your bag before you can reach in, get it out and throw it, don't you? Well, there's only one place I know of to get it, bless God, and that's in that book. Because the book calls it the seed. It says it's the incorruptible seed, by the way. Yeah, if you want to get people transformed from corruptible to incorruptible, you better have some incorruptible seed. Because like produces, if you throw out corruptible seed, bless God, all you're going to get is a bunch of corruptible people. But if you throw out the incorruptible seed, guess what? It'll bring forth incorruptible. If you want to get rid of mortal, throw out immortal. For this mortal body shall take on immortality. Well, how does this mortal body take on immortality? That's bigger than me. How do I get that done? I mean, look, everybody wants to go to a place called heaven where we're immortal, where we live forever, right? Well, you don't go unless you immortal. Unless this mortal takes on immortal, you ain't going there. Well, there's only one way to get that. The seed. The seed. I sang a song a couple weeks ago. When did I sing? Last week? Week? 2 weeks ago? I don't remember. Week before. Thank you, honey. Glad you remember. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something wonderful happened. And now I know. You know why he touched me? I was sitting at a red light one day hearing somebody sow. My dad and mom were back home praying that somebody would sow seed around their boy. I never will forget it. Somehow I got to listening to Dr. Charles Stanley. I just turned the radio on and there he was, throwing out the seed. And you know what happened, honey? That day, in that place, in that time, it fell on good ground, brother. Up until then, my dad had thrown that seed, but it fell on hard ground. And then it got to falling on thorny ground. Then it got to falling on stony ground. And not a time did it work. I can't tell you how many professions I made. I can't tell you how many times I went to the altar. My wife and I'd have trouble, I'd tell her. If I was in financial trouble, I went to the altar. But folks, that is hard ground, stony ground, and thorny ground. That won't get you anywhere. But sitting at that red light, funny place to get saved, isn't it? I thought you had to get saved in the church. No, it's wherever the seed is. You don't have to throw the seed here. We like to. I try my best to throw out that seed every week. But folks, listen, there's places out there where the seed will hit good ground. And it don't have to be here. But that day and that place and that time, boy, it hit good soil. Whew, glory. Y'all don't care if I have a little fit, do you? Because Jesus saves, brother. Let me tell you something. I left that red light different. I left that red light free. I left that red light clean. I left that red light different. Because Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Let's throw it. It's the only hope for your friends. It's the only hope for your family. It's the only hope for your foes. Jesus saves. Well, we're in Isaiah. And Dar says, when are we going to get there? We're going to get there, I promise you. We're already there. But if you would, turn to Luke. Sure.
Are we in Isaiah?
We're in Isaiah. We're in Isaiah, honey. I started out the first verse of Romans, but I ended up in Isaiah. I guess somebody was praying that I'd teach Isaiah. I don't know. Well, honey, you see, you've thrown me off. Well, it's okay if you get thrown off, but you're not teaching. If I get thrown off, we're in serious trouble, aren't we, brother? Where was I? I understand that, but where? Yeah. Well, where in the world have I went to? Now, it's in Luke, and I'm going to find it. There it is. It's in chapter 8. Chapter 8. Start over at verse 41, somewhere in there. I'm going to tell you the story. A centurion's daughter became gravely ill, to the point to where the centurion knew that he couldn't help her. She was going to die. He had heard of a man. He had heard of a man that he knew could help his daughter. Now you got to remember, this is a centurion Roman, folks. This man is hated by the Jews up one side and down the other. But his daughter was dying, and he heard about Jesus, and he rushes as fast as he can and finds him, and he said, Lord, my daughter lieth at death's door, my words, will you come? Jesus said, no, I've got other things going on today, son. I've got meetings over at the church. And no. He said, no, I'll come. Whenever you want him, he'll come. Just go get him. Yeah, that's the problem with people. They won't go get him. All you got, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, bless God. All you got to do is come get him and say, Lord, would you come? And he'll say, yeah, I'll come. So they take off. And you know what happens? This throng of people, like everywhere he went, heard what he's going to do. He's going to see the centurion's daughter. And they just throng him. Now, y'all seen this on TV. I know you have. Where these, with all due respect to celebrities, these celebrities, you know, they're out and people just thronging, wanting autographs and pictures and all this nonsense. I never have understood why you want somebody's signature. The only one signature I want, bless God, and that's Jesus' signature on my name. Huh? Tom belongs to me. I'll take that. But they're thronging. And there's this little old lady. Had a problem. She'd spent every dime she had. She'd been to every doctor she could find. The Bible says she had suffered at all of them. In other words, their treatment caused her pain, but she would go through anything to get rid of her problem. She had an issue of blood. You say, well, Tom, what's the big deal about that? Well, first of all, it was a sickness. Second of all, it caused her to be ostracized. She couldn't go to the temple. She couldn't be a part of society. That's why she spent everything she had. That's why she went to every doctor she could find. None of them could help her. But she, like the centurion, had heard somebody had slung it out there. There's this man called Jesus. Boy, and is he doing some great things. You wouldn't believe what this man could do. And I can just see her. There's the crowd and this little old lady who's weak. If I can just, I don't care what they think. I'll get on my knees if I can just get to the man who can help me. Boy, she reaches up and she touches that garment. And something went through her like she'd never felt before.
Amen. That's right.
He touched me. And all the joy that flooded my soul. And Jesus said, somebody touch me.
Yeah.
And his disciples, his own disciples said, why, Lord, what are you talking about? Look around you. Everybody's touching you. He said, no. No, you don't understand. Virtue went out of me.
Yeah. Faith believed.
Let me tell you something. The day you got saved, it was because he touched you and virtue went out of him. You know what healed that woman? His virtue, his goodness, his love. That's what healed her. And so he said, who touched me? And the Bible says she got afraid and she came trembling. Here's this ostracized woman. And it says, and she was willing to tell everything about her. Let me tell you something. When a person wants really rid of what's killing them, they won't care who knows about them. They just want one person to know about them. The only one that can help them. Jesus saves. This woman needed deliverance. This woman needed rescue. This woman was desperate. Let me tell you something. You know what's missing today, folks? Desperation's missing. You know why desperation's missing? Because we watered down the Word of God so much, people don't even think about it anymore in the same way. We don't call sin, sin. He is of pure eyes and to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity. That's what God thinks of your sin. It is filthy rags. That's what God thinks of your sin. That's a person's condition in sin. It's not something to chew gum about. It's not something to smile about. It's not something to sign a card about. It's something that you want rid of. And that woman wanted rid of what was getting her. And when she touched that garment, it was gone. She knew it was gone. When he touches you, you'll know it's gone.
Amen.
And so he says, no, I felt virtue go out of me. And here she comes. And she tells him all that there was about her. Right in front of everybody. She no longer cared. You know why? It wasn't a problem anymore. Let me tell you something. When you confess your past sins to God, that's what they are. Past. And it don't matter who knows about them. They're past. They're at his back, never to be remembered anymore. And who cares if one of your friends knows about them? Maybe your friend needs to know his could be past or hers could be past. And so Jesus, after that episode, continues on. But, oh, they stop him. Oh, wait, stop. I've got bad news for you. Your daughter's dead. There's no need. This is verbatim. Sometimes I paraphrase. Sometimes I won't. There's no need to trouble the master anymore. She's dead. Have you ever heard that? Oh, there's no need to pray for them anymore. They ain't going to listen. There ain't no need to witness them anymore. They ain't going to listen. Keep throwing it. Keep throwing it. You know what Jesus said? Don't listen to them fools, my words. Don't listen to them. Verbatim. Just believe. Believe what? Well, believe you come and got the right person. I mean, after all, you come and got me, didn't you? Why'd you come and get me? You came and got me to take care of your daughter, didn't you? Well, why are you stopping now? Just keep believing. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to them. They don't have the truth. They don't know the truth. They don't want the truth. So why would you listen to them? And he says, just believe. And on they went. And they get to the house. And they're already in the mourning. You know, back then, they would pay people to come and mourn. And they would, they would carry on and carry on. And that's what was going on in the house. Read it for yourself. That's what it says. And Jesus went in and said, what in the world, my words, what in the world y'all doing? She's not dead. She's just asleep. And you know what? They said, yes, yes. No, they didn't. It says they laughed, verbatim, they laughed him to scorn. They laughed at him. They laughed at the Son of God because they didn't believe he was the Son of God. Listen, people laugh at the world over Jesus because they don't believe in him. Saturday Night Live mocks him because Saturday Night Live don't care about him. Why would you? Why would you care about Saturday Night Live? I'm not picking on you if you like Saturday Night Live. But why would anybody give credence to this crowd that mocks the Savior? And you know what he did? He threw them out. You know, maybe sometime, bless God, we'd have more saved if we'd throw some people out of here. Maybe. Just kidding. I can't see your heart, so I can't throw you out. Jesus could see their heart, so he knew who'd throw out, right? Huh? He knew who to keep and who'd throw out. Well, one of these days, bless God, he's going to do it for real. He's going to put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. He's going to throw them out. But anyway, he gets rid of the naysayers. He gets rid of those that mocked him, those that laughed, those that wouldn't believe. Because let me tell you something, if you don't believe him, he can't do anything for you. If that centurion had not believed, I'm telling you right now, Jesus wouldn't have done one thing for him. Because he told him, just believe. That's all I'm asking you. One thing, just believe. I'll take care of everything else. Just believe. And so he gets them all out. And you know what happened? Remember what he said? And I've told you this before. Well, let me tell you something. He said, oh, she's not dead. She's a... Now, remember, I've told you this. I've told you this more than once. She's dead to somebody that can't do anything about it. That's why when he walked in the room, they all said, oh, she's dead. That's why them people came out there and said, don't trouble him because she's dead. You know why she was dead to them? Because they couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't raise her up. They couldn't wake her up. They couldn't stir her up. They couldn't do anything. She's dead. But she's sleeping to Jesus. You know why? Because he can go over and say, hey, wake up, son. It's time for you to get to work. There's a phone went off in here.
You just woke that up.
Oh, Lord mercy. So he says, oh, she's not dead. She's asleep. She's asleep because I can wake her. And you know what he did? He woke her up. Well, let me tell you something. They're going to take me one of these days, I've told you, out here to the VA. And they're going to put this old body in a box and drop it in the dirt and throw the dirt over it. And Dan's going to stand there and cry and weep and wail and all that stuff.
Because we paid him.
Why? Because what?
She paid him.
We paid him. Well, pay him good. I don't want him to quit halfway. But you know what? I won't be dead. I'll be asleep. You know why I'll be asleep? Because one of these days he can wake me up. He's going to say, Tom! Son, you slept all night. It's time to get up. Because the day star's risen. Ha, glory, how you like that? So he says, get up, honey. And by the way, now she's up, feed her. Let me tell you something. You know what a person that's dead in trespasses and sin, that's no longer dead in trespasses and sin, but now is alive forevermore, you know what they need? Feeding. Feeding. The only place you'll get that food is in the food book. Listen, I know they've got all these cookbooks and all these food books. But let me tell you something. Here's the cookbook. Here's the food book. Get it out. Eat it up. Yum, yum, eat it up. Yeah. Remember, you know, you're too young to remember that. You remember the little rascals when the big giant was after them and he says, yum, yum, eat them up. Yum, yum, eat them up. Oh, they took off just running. Y'all don't remember any of this stuff. I'll tell you what. Y'all are pitiful. I know it. So then we go on over to chapter 18, I believe it is. Is it chapter 18? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now here, he says two men went to the temple. Well, that sounds, don't that sound good? I mean, they went to church. Well, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And you know, they went in to pray. Now, everybody needs to pray, right? My goodness, we're at church, we're going to pray. And here's this Pharisee. Here's his prayer, brother. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this publican over here. I tithe. Lord, let me tell you all these things, my words. Let me tell you all these things I do. I'm so glad I'm not like this publican over here. You know what a publican is, don't you? A publican was what we call a goodbye. A goodbye. A tax collector. Y'all forget everything I tell you in here. I told you the way you can remember that is when you, at tax time, what do you say to your money?
Goodbye.
Goodbye. He was called a Mekesh. A Mekesh. The Mekesh was the worst of the worst tax collectors. And he was one of them. And the Pharisee said, boy, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. I come here with right motives. And over here is this publican. All he can do is say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't say, I'm glad I'm not like this guy, although he was like that guy. Because you see, this guy and that guy were just alike. They were sinners. But one didn't realize it. One did. Do you know what happened that day? Well, I'll let Jesus will tell you. He says, I say unto you. So I guess he's saying, I say unto you that this man went away justified, made right. What does that infer? Well, but when he says he went away justified, what does that infer? Listen, he came in wrong, he's going out right. He came in wrong, thinking he was right. He went out wrong. Listen, the churches are full of these people, folks. I'm not condemning them. They need the seed too. But the churches are full of people who think because they come to church and because they say a prayer and because they talk nice things and they even bring their Bible that God has to accept them. Well, I say to them, no, God accepts this one who says, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Wafted on the rolling tides, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Tell the sinners far and wide, Jesus saves. Folks, that's the seed we throw. That's the seed we sow. It's not our seed. It's the seed that's been given to us. That's the responsibility of us, that we're to sow the seed that's been given to us. The same seed that saved us will save others, but we just must throw it. That's all you can do. That's all you're to do. That's all you're responsible for, is to throw it. But if you don't throw it, their blood is on our hands. Because he says, if you don't warn them and you know about it, I will require their blood at you. But if you warn them and they don't heed, then I'll require their blood at themselves. We're to sow that seed. We're to throw that seed. That's just a bee. Don't let that distract you. Because we're going back to the previous chapter. Or same chapter. No, the previous chapter. I don't know where I'm at. I got to look now. The bee. Chapter 19. Here's the story. There's another little Mokesh. Another goodbye. Somebody had thrown some seed out. And you know where it hit? It hit on good ground. And you know what he said? I don't want to see him. But the Bible says he couldn't see. Not because he couldn't see, because he couldn't see. He could see very well, but he couldn't see. Now, he couldn't see because he wasn't tall enough to see, because the crowd was in front of him. His eyes were fine, but he couldn't see over the crowd. That's what the Bible says. He couldn't see over the crowd. You know, there's times, folks, the people can't get saved because they can't see over the crowd. But he wanted so badly to see this man who could help him. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll do. The crowd thinks they're going to keep me away. I'll go climb his sycamore tree. And just maybe, I can get his attention. No, that's not true. He had already got Jesus' attention when he said, I want to see him. Don't you like it?
Yeah.
He'd already got Jesus' attention. Now Jesus is looking for him, but he ain't looking in the crowd. Huh? Listen, Jesus knows better than look in this world for somebody that's looking for him. He's looking in the heart of a man called Zacchaeus who's climbed up a sycamore tree because he wanted the Lord to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. No, that ain't what he said at all, honey. That's the song. The Word of God says, for I must abide, verbatim. For I must abide. You know what abide means? Well, it's God, I got to come in and set up camp. I am not coming for a visit. I'm coming to
stay.
Hey, don't you like that?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
You know, when he comes in, brother, he's coming to stay. He says, me and my Father, we're going to come and abide in you. Don't you like that? Huh? That's why in Colossians it tells you, it says that to get to you, Satan's got to go first through Christ. And then if he's by some chance got through Christ, he's got to get through God. That's what it says. Go read it for yourself, chapter 3. Well, guess what? First of all, he ain't getting through Christ. But second of all, he ain't getting... Listen, you know what? I'm not smart enough. Rick is. Some of you are. Y'all know what a firewall is. Huh? A firewall is something that protects your computer. And if you've got a good one, boy, you can't penetrate it. And you know the problem with most people? They've got a firewall up, folks. So the Lord said, Zacchaeus, come down, for this day I must abide at your house. Now, it doesn't say anything about the salvation of Zacchaeus. If you read the story, it jumps forward. And it says, Zacchaeus testifies. Now, Lord, if I have taken anything wrong, I'm going to restore fourfold. Now, what's that proof of? Well, let me tell you what that's proof of. Why do you think the publicans were hated? They were tax collectors. Now, the reason the Mokesh, and I'm just giving you a little Jewish history here, the reason the Mokesh were hated more than any else, see, you had the bigger tax collectors. And the Romans had told them what they could collect on. But underneath them were the Mokesh. And the big tax collectors would say to the Mokesh, now you go out and collect what I'm due. And then you can tax whatever you want to, and whatever you get, you can keep. If a donkey's got three legs, you can tax a three-legged donkey. Whatever you want to tax, you can tax, and you can keep the money. That's power. That's taking. And listen, they had to pay up. The Romans, would come take. They'd get the money. So he was hated. And that's why he said, Lord, if I've taken anything wrong, well, he knew he had. But he was changed. Listen, when Jesus comes to your house to stay, you won't be the same, honey. You're not going to be who you were. You're not going to want what you wanted. Oh, there might be times when the flesh wins out and you do something you shouldn't. But in here, you're changed. And you know what's going to happen when that flesh does something it shouldn't? Boy, you're going to say, Lord, forgive me. Oh, I don't want that. I don't want that. That so dishonors the Lord. I don't want that. You say, Tom, hey, you know that. More times than I can count. More times than I can count. But you know what I found every time, brother? He says, okay, I forgive you. And so Zacchaeus has this testimony, and Jesus has a testimony of him. Isn't it wonderful? When we have a testimony of Jesus, Jesus will have a testimony of you. And you know what Jesus testified to? He said, this day, not tomorrow, this day, salvation has come to this house.
Yeah.
I can't tell you, folks. You say, Tom, you mentioned it too much. Oh, it's a red light. You know what he said to me, honey? He said, this day, salvation has come to this house. And I can attest to the fact it's never left. It's never left. It's not going to leave. You say, Tom, you've been through Luke. You've talked about all these things. What does it have to do with Isaiah? Well, Isaiah got this vision about Judea and Judah and Jerusalem. And it was a vision from the Lord. And in the vision, it talks about Israel's or Judah's condition. I'm going to tell you something. If a person never sees their condition, they'll never go to the one that can change it. And so first he has to show them their condition. That's why I say the seed that we throw, the seed that we sow, the seed that we go with, it must be the unadulterated, pure word of God. We cannot change it. We cannot water it. We cannot tolerate anything else. Yeah. Because if they don't see their condition by the word, they'll never see it. If the word doesn't show them, they'll never see it. So we must throw the pure word. We must show the powerful word. Because it is the word that brings forth. And so first we tell them about their condition. And then we tell them how they can rid themselves of their condition. For 17 verses in chapter 1, he will tell them of their condition. How sick they are from head to foot. He says, you're sick. He says, why do you want to keep being punished? You won't come to the doctor. Why do you choose to do this? You're so sick. And he says, I'm sick of your worship. I'm sick of your sacrifices. I'm sick of your prayers. I'm sick of you being sick. Because he's angry. You say, you're angry? That's what it says. Because they provoked the Holy One, verbatim, the Holy One of Israel to anger. He's angry with them because he says, I nourished up children and they have forsaken me. He says, Tommy, come on! He says, the donkey knoweth its own crib. But not you. He says, an animal knows more to appreciate me than you do. He's angry. But boy, in that anger comes that mercy. And I'm done. In that anger comes that mercy. Keep throwing that seed. And it'll make people angry. But keep throwing that seed. Because chapter 1 and verse 18 will hit them one day. Come. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And if you will be obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Oh, everybody likes that first part, but nobody likes that second part. But if you don't give them the second part, they'll never appreciate the first. If you don't tell a person about their sin, they'll never appreciate the salvation. So when you sow the seed, sow it with compassion. Sow it with concern. Sow it with a heart that is bleeding for them. But sow it with determination not to tolerate anything else. Not to move away from it. Remember what he said to Joshua, and I'm done. You say, Tom, you keep saying that. Here's what he said to Joshua. When you go into the land, Joshua, don't look left. Don't look right. Let me tell you something, folks. Liberty Fellowship can only be effective if we don't look left, if we don't look right, if we keep the Word of God and keep throwing it and keep looking towards a Savior that can save. Well, Doris, honey, maybe we'll get to Isaiah one of these days.